This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. For most people, dating isn't easy. It's complicated, and although it's full of potential, you can also find yourself going down blind alleys that lead nowhere. But like everything in the 21st century, technology is being used to change the way people meet and hopefully meet with more success. Online dating sites and other modern inventions are changing traditional dating rituals. But are the changes for the better? We attempt to find out this hour. We're joined by Dr. Dashana Hawkes, a licensed relationship coach and author of Stop Being Single Now, as well as the forthcoming book Save Your Marriage Now. Her YouTube videos are seen around the world, and she appears locally on Fox Charlotte TV. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Megan Henshaw is a writer for Creative Loafing Charlotte, focused on women's issues, dating, and social trends. She's also an event planner. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Good morning.
And good morning. And Emily Maynard is a single mom to 7-year-old Ricky, but is nationally known as a contestant on ABC, the winning contestant on ABC's The Bachelor, where she accepted Brad's proposal and later her own season of The Bachelorette, where she accepted Jeff's proposal. Did I get the names right of the guys?
There's a lot. So you got them right.
Neither of those engagements led to the altar. She remains single, joins us today to talk about those experiences and more. Thank you for being here as well.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. First, doctor, I have to ask you how one becomes a licensed relationship coach. Do you train for that? Do you get a degree for that? How does that happen?
I actually did get lots of training to do that, both in communications, human behavior, and relationships. But really what launched my career is I was speaking at an event, and a gentleman approached me and said, you know, I'm listening to your talk. I'm listening to how you're handling the audience. And my wife's leaving me this weekend. Will you help me? And that really launched my career. I said, sure, I'll be happy to sit down and speak with you. And I spent a weekend in their home helping them navigate the problems in their relationship, and they're still married today. So that's really how I started.
Had you had experience doing that prior to that weekend?
Not as far as marriage work, but dealing with teams that are in conflict in the corporate world and projects and bringing different cultures together to merge and find unique and unified ways of working together.
But the stakes are really high when you go into somebody's house and their marriage is breaking up, and it's on you to bring them back together.
Well, that's the nice thing about being a coach. It's not on me, it's on them.
Oh, I see. Okay.
It really is. I'm there to guide you and provide you the tools. What you do with them, just like with anything else, is up to you and the choices that you make. Yeah.
Before we talk about dating and relationships and how the dating scene is changing and how all the new stuff in the world is changing the dating experience, I want to start, Megan, with you. You've tried, I'm told, almost every kind of dating known to man and woman, including online dating, which you say was a horrible experience until you met the gentleman that you are currently dating, your boyfriend. Aside from that last successful encounter in the world of online dating, did you find one method of dating preferable over the other?
Up until I tried online dating and really started to explore alternative resources, I'd always dated via meeting through mutual friend or school or work or, you know, traditional manners. I found online dating to be a very disingenuous experience. It seems forced. I don't think that people are necessarily themselves online a lot of times. It's statistically proven that 81% of people lie in their online profiles. So,
no, come on.
Typically about their age, height, and weight, but still, there's, you know,
that's
important.
Men. Isn't age, height, and weight is men, isn't it?
Across the board.
Across the board,
yeah.
Okay. Men lie about their income, too, I'm told.
They do. Mm-hmm. They do. But yeah, I mean, I got really lucky, and actually the boyfriend became the fiance on Friday.
Oh,
so
congratulations.
We just got engaged. Thank you.
So it worked for you.
It did. I did a trial membership with Match.com. That was where I met Kyle. Mm-hmm. And he was actually the last person that emailed me before that trial ran out because I wasn't going to renew. So.
How many people did you encounter on Match.com before Kyle?
Probably 40 or 50.
Whoa. Did you actually meet them or did you just encounter?
No, I only went on 4 or 5 actual dates. It doesn't take you long to vet someone when you're in constant email and text communication. But yeah, those dates were pretty awful. So
why? Why were they any more awful than, say, meeting somebody that a friend of yours said, but you should go out with him, or a blind date, or somebody you met I don't know, at the office or at a church social? What's the difference?
I don't think you get an accurate picture of someone via asynchronous communication. So you send an email.
That's a technical term. What does that mean?
So you send an email. they have a period of time to figure out how they would like to respond.
I see.
Right. So when you're actually in person, you're getting an accurate picture of what they would say in real time. And that's what I found in via text and email. I wasn't getting an accurate picture of who they actually were and what they would actually say. They were preparing these things that they thought I probably wanted to hear. And when I met them in person, it was a very different
situation. Yeah, it's not real time because they can think about it and edit and make themselves look much better than perhaps they would if they spoke spontaneously across the table.
Exactly. So, Kyle was different because he got offline as soon as possible. So he was very quick to say, can I give you a phone call as opposed to trading texts and emails, because he tired of that pretty quickly.
I want to come back to that, because there is that moment where you have to decide, okay, I'm going to meet this person. I'm going to give this person my phone number, or I'm going to meet that person someplace for an actual face-to-face encounter. And I want to talk about that in a second. Emily, most people know your story, that you met and fell in love with Ricky Hendrick, the NASCAR driver who died in a plane crash, and you are the mother of his daughter. And then you went on to become national. We knew you in Charlotte because of that tragic encounter. But you went on to national fame because of The Bachelor and later The Bachelorette. What made you decide that you would be participating in The Bachelor, a national television show in which you are competing with how many other women?
My season, there were 25 other girls.
For the affections or the attention of one man. What made you decide you wanted to do that? That was a good idea.
Honestly, I have no idea. I still ask myself that. It's a question my own mother asks me every day.
I mean, did you want to be on television? Did you want to be famous? Did you think this would lead to something permanent? I mean, was it just a fun experience that you thought, well, the heck, I can be on television and have a good time, and who knows?
Honestly, I said no forever. I didn't agree
really?
To do it until like the week before.
How did they find you?
My girlfriend nominated me. And one of the casting directors called me, and I hung up because I thought it was a prank call. So he kept on calling. So finally, one day, I just Googled the number, and it was legit. And I don't know. I prayed about it for a long time, and I just thought, you know, I was so young when I had my daughter, and being a mom is really hard, and you don't get out much. And so I thought, I'm going to go and live my college experience for a couple of weeks. And, you know, who knows, maybe I'll get some home the first night. But it was so much fun.
So what's it like once you say, yes, I'll do this, and they say, be here at a certain date and time, when you step off the airplane and into that world of reality television, mm-hmm. what's the first thing that hits you?
Honestly, it didn't really hit me that it was going to be on TV until I started to see myself on TV and all the promos and everything else.
By then, the show had wrapped, hadn't it? I mean, are you still filming, mm-hmm. taping while they're airing the first couple of episodes?
It had already, you know, we'd already finished everything. Okay. And I don't know. It just didn't hit me, and maybe
there's a camera in your face all the time.
I know, and I had heard people say that they just get used to it, and I was like, yeah, right. But you really do. You just get used to it. It's crazy, and you become friends with the camera guys and everybody, and you just learn to ignore it. It's like having a computer in the room.
Now, I've only seen the show once. I'm sorry, but I do watch Survivor. I don't know why I keep watching Survivor, but I keep watching Survivor. And I know that they have these off-the-beaten-path interviews with people to describe what they're going through. Is The Bachelor like that? Did you talk to the camera directly and talk about The Bachelor and your experience?
Oh, yeah, lots of interviews.
Do you realize that they are priming the pump, that they are trying to get from you reactions that will make drama out of this?
Absolutely, absolutely. But I went into it very skeptical, so I, you know, kind of was extra mindful of that, and to a point where it was – I thought that everybody was out to get me, you know, like, I'm not going to say that. Why do you want me to say that? I didn't want to be used for drama, and I just wanted to be there and live my truth.
Is the experience that you experienced both as a bachelorette competing for a bachelor and as the bachelorette choosing the bachelor, mm-hmm. is that a dating experience? I know that you go on dates in the course of this, but there's a camera crew following you around. Is that dating?
I absolutely think so. And I absolutely do. I learned so much about myself, good and bad, in dating. I mean, I had to watch myself every Monday for 2 hours date. So I learned what I'm good at, what I'm not so good at. I learned what I want, what I don't want. Yeah.
People who don't ever do this, who never put themselves on tape to watch how they react in situations like job interview situations, don't know how valuable that is. That really is valuable to see yourself and go, ooh, that was bad, or ooh, that was good. I should do that more. That's Emily Maynard's take on The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. We'll get more of that as we go through the program. And we're talking about modern ways of meeting people and dating on Charlotte Talks this morning on WFAE. You, Dr. Dar, started thinking about relationships at the age of 13 because yes. You are from an Indian family, from India, not a Native American family, but an Indian family, and they had arranged a marriage for you, which is the way that culture deals with this. And I think you decided that you wanted more than that. You didn't just want financial security.
Right.
You wanted something else from a lifetime relationship. What did you want?
Well, for me, it was more of a cultural disconnect because I've been in Western countries my entire life and in the States for a very long time. And I wanted more of a career and more of a balanced kind of lifestyle as opposed to being what I saw to be culturally appropriate, which was to stay home, have a family, not have the career be as important. And I wanted more of an equal, you know, partnership and very, very strong communication and connection. Mm. Now, there's plenty of Indian marriages and arranged marriages that have that. It's just I wasn't exposed to it to see it.
And what was the reaction of your parents to that decision?
Oh, wow. a big shout out to my parents because they, now that they, you know, when they met the husband that I chose, who I met on Match.com, incidentally, 14 years ago.
That must have really thrilled them.
they kind of, you know, tolerated it, didn't say anything. But when your father meets the man that you've selected to be your soulmate and to marry, and he says, you mess this one up, I will haunt you for the rest of your life. You know you got it right.
Yeah. When I have three women on the panel, so this is perhaps not a fair question, but when men and women date, what are they looking for? Are they looking for the same things? Obviously, you can answer the female side of this. I'm not sure you can answer the male side of it. Maybe you can because you're a relationship counselor.
Well, I'd like to answer, you know, what dating is and dating is not. I think there's a lot of misconceptions about that. And dating really is a process of finding what you want. And when you're really clear about what it is you're wanting, and what you require and need, then it's easier to vet, like Megan said. And I think that women approach dating as I'm going to meet the one, and the number one mistake women make is they date one person at a time and have a mini relationship. And then when it doesn't work out, there's a lot of pain and time and money invested. Instead of like a job interview, you know, most people aren't going to just put all their eggs into one company to interview. You're going to select quite a few based on your requirements and then sort through which ones are a better fit for you. That's what dating is. It's just a process.
You're nodding a lot over there.
No, I completely agree. It's like diversifying your portfolio, right? It makes so much sense. And in the process of, you know, interviewing Dr. Dar and talking to so many people around Charlotte who are utilizing various online tools and even professionals like Dr. Dar, they're seeing higher success rates and, you know, just figuring themselves out.
Megan Henschel is a writer for Creative Living Charlotte. Dr. Darshana Hawks is a relationship expert. And Emily Maynard joins us, who has lots of stories to tell about her dating on television. We're coming right back. Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Hey, Charlotte Talks on Listener Funded, 90.7 WFAE and 90.3 WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. Sorry you had to leave because we had a wonderful time in the break. Dr. Dar is with us from Fox Charlotte TV. She is a relationship expert and author of Stop Being Single Now. Megan Henschel is a writer for Creative Loafing who writes about women's issues and many other things. And Emily Maynard is a mom and a former contestant on The Bachelor and The Bachelorette on ABC television. We're talking about modern dating. Your columns that I read yesterday, Megan, about this one man who broke it off with the woman that he had encountered on an online dating website who kept calling him all the time. And so he just finally broke it off because she was, what, too needy, too pestering? What was the deal there?
Well, I think this was actually, you know, a large part of the article that you read. There's this fast-forwarding effect that you get with online dating, and a lot of times it's happening from the woman's perspective. So a woman meets a man online, they're exchanging emails, they exchange phone numbers, they're texting, communication is happening on a regular basis. In their minds, they're in some sort of relationship with that man, even if they've never met in person. And with that particular situation, he had never been on an actual date with this lady.
So he never met her?
Had never met her in person. The day that the incident occurred, she called him 6 or 7 times over the course of the day. He was working, didn't return her phone calls in the time that she thought was appropriate, and broke up with him, quote unquote, on his voicemail in a very angry way. And they weren't even dating. They weren't even in a relationship.
Now, is this normal or is this abnormal? Is this two people who just didn't click because their clocks were out of sync? Or is this what's going on in the online dating world and in the modern world today? Because things have changed. This is not 1950 anymore, where if you don't meet somebody at church or at the office or through somebody you know, then you don't date them. This is not how it works anymore.
That's true. And yes, this is very real. I feel like women, because they've made some sort of emotional connection, whether it be over the phone or through email, they think they're in a relationship. And there's a lot of assumptions that are being made. And the truth of the matter is we're not asking for what we need, and we're not clarifying what the relationship is. And so until two people have a conversation about what are we calling this? Are we just friends? Are we just, you know, are we learning about each other? Or are we in a relationship? Those communications aren't happening, and they need to.
When do you know you're in a relationship and it's more than just a cursory dating and having some fun, maybe going to the movies, going out for dinner, and then at some point you're suddenly in this relationship? Because one of you said that women tend to want to have a relationship
right away.
Like right away. And men feel boxed in by that and start pushing back. And they are serial daters. They'll date – that's not the right term, because they'll date multiple people at the same time.
They've actually got it right. Yeah, because they're
– used to tick women off. It still does.
And I'm probably ticking some women off by saying this. But the truth of the matter is they've got it right. The Bachelor, Bachelorette, great show to show that – or to demonstrate that you've got to meet a lot of people. It's a numbers game in some sort of way. And – really, what's happening is you're not in a relationship until you talk about it and agree that you're in a relationship.
I call it the DTR, the define the relationship talk. And online dating, a lot of times that means simultaneously taking your profiles offline and agreeing to be exclusive.
And that means when your profile is gone from the dating site, that means you're in a relationship with that other person who's also taking your profile.
You're agreeing that you're
off.
Taking yourself off the market.
You're having the conversation and you're agreeing to before you just do it and expect the other person to do it.
Now, the best example of the most public example of this, I suppose, is The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. And you've been on both sides of the equation. You've been on the side where the guy is auditioning you along with 24 other women. And you've been on the side where you are the Bachelorette auditioning all these guys. Which is the better? Do you like that system? Was that good for you, auditioning all these guys?
Absolutely. I think any girl would be crazy not to love that. It was a lot of fun, but it also gives you...
How could it have been fun? I mean, you don't know these people at all.
But you don't know anybody you go out with, you know, online dating either. You know, you don't know if somebody sets you up.
But don't people usually hate first dates?
Yeah. And
so here you had – how many guys participated in The Bachelorette?
25.
So you have 25 first dates, just like that. Bang, 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 bang.
But essentially, it's just being set up. It's just by – I was being set up by producers.
But not only is it awkward first dates because you don't know what to talk about and you're trying to feel each other out in terms of what will interest the other person and what you want to put yourself in the best light. You've got to do this 25 times in front of producers on the other side of the camera. How many people on the – people don't understand this in television. People are watching you on television and they're seeing you and The Bachelor, right?
Mm-hmm.
How many people are on the other side of the camera while you're having this intimate dining experience?
There are quite a few.
Yeah, about 20?
Probably. But honestly, they're like really respectful and they stay away and they're usually not within eyesight. But to me, it's a lot like dating in the real world. And I don't know, it really wasn't that unnatural for me.
You know, years ago, if women made the first move, if they asked a guy out on a date, that was an appalling idea for most people. And that is not an appalling idea anymore. That happens all the time, evidently. And it's because women's roles in the world have changed. You ladies don't really need men in your lives. You've got careers. You make your own money. You make your own way in the world. We're kind of useless. So you can make those first moves now. That's really changed everything, hasn't it?
It has changed everything. But, you know, men, you are not useless. It's just our needs have shifted and changed. You know, we now collaborate when it comes to finances. We're able to do more together. We're able to take trips together that we, you know, a single earner family may not have been able to do. So I think also men's roles have shifted to where they're becoming more emotionally connected and be able to talk about, you know, what's better than to come home and be able to talk about your job and them understand your perspective, mm-hmm. where we didn't have that in earlier years.
But still, men are not participating in the home the way women have traditionally participated. It's still the woman who comes home from work and has to clean the house and cook the meals and wash the dishes, take care of the kids, do the laundry, blah, blah, blah. I mean, men do help, but not 50-50 in most cases, right?
You're seeing that shift. I mean, I have a wonderful house husband that helps, and we do 100-100. We show up when things need to be done, and that pattern's changing. It's very, very stereotypical, and I'm really an advocate for men because they do help.
And is that something that you get into on dates? Do you talk about the role in the household future if you come to some sort of, I don't want to say agreement because that sounds legal, but I mean, if you decide that this is a relationship that you want to pursue, mm-hmm. is that something that you talk about?
Absolutely, and I think you talk about it as soon as possible. In my conversations with Dr. Dar, just talking about the process of meeting online and vetting and really understanding the criteria that you're looking for, because you have a buffer, you shouldn't be afraid to attack those hard topics as early as you can. You're paying a monthly fee, right, to meet the person that you could potentially marry, so why not take full advantage of it? I think you should immediately get those things out there.
I think that also differentiates you from the rest, because when you go online, everything looks the same. And if you're assertive in that way and you're open to communicating honestly that way, I think you'll end up attracting more of what you're looking for.
Right. Have you done any online dating, Emily?
I haven't, no.
Is dating more difficult for you now because you've been on television twice in these high-profile television shows and people know who you are?
Honestly, I haven't really experienced that. I haven't really been out a whole lot. But yeah, it's a little bit creepy whenever I go out with him and he knows everything about me.
Yeah. And you don't know, because you're famous now, you don't know what people's intentions are. You don't know if they like you because they like you, mm-hmm. or because they want to get to know this woman who was on television and see what she was. I can say, I dated Emily Maynard, my God. What will my friends
say? I don't know if that's bragging rights, but honestly, it's a double-edged sword, because I'll also go out with a guy and he won't be into the fact that I was on The Bachelorette. He's embarrassed by it and, you know, has this kind of preconceived notion of who I am based on a highly edited version of myself that he saw on TV.
Did you like what they did to you on television? Did you agree with the editing?
Well, I mean, I did all of that. If I was, you know, not so nice, it's because I was feeling not so nice.
Yeah, but they sometimes play it up, don't
absolutely.
They?
Absolutely. And I knew that going into it. And, you know, it's real life.
Okay. Modern dating has also been characterized as having a hookup mentality. Casual, free, no strings attached, sex. What's it called? Friendship with friends with benefits. Yeah, you say that this isn't new, Dr. Dar. That this is reminiscent of the 1960s. Really?
It's been around forever. It's just more public now. Quite frankly, I don't see much of a change there at all. And a point I'd like to make is that it depends on what dating is to you. Are you dating to find the person you want to marry, or are you dating just recreationally and for fun?
Isn't there a lot of that going on? If you watched HBO's Girls, it is a good example of this, of young people in their 20s who are in this hookup culture, who are having these alcohol-infused romantic flings where sex is part of it, but it seems pretty hollow. On the face of it, on both parts, neither the man nor the woman really is getting a lot out of this except benefits. Is that what the 60s were like?
I think there was more meaning in the 60s, but my point is population, the number of people in the world has increased. So it looks like it's a lot more. The basic underlying hookup culture is not new. I think that people recreationally dated before, and sex was part of that. And it simply is what it is. I really don't see anything different there.
Because some people have said that this culture or this habit of doing this has left people unhappy and confused about intimacy, the role of intimacy in relationships.
That I completely agree with, because it's very short-lived. And to me, that's not dating. That is recreationally going out and having fun until you're ready to, you know, have a committed relationship. And the younger you are, I think you have more of a propensity for the hookup culture.
You say that everybody has the same basic needs when they are looking for a relationship, when it comes to relationships. What are those needs?
To love and be loved. It's quite simple. To be heard, to be respected, to value each other, to have dialogue and connection. It's really shifted. It's not about money and security anymore.
But if you look at a profile online, and I haven't done this very often, so I'm the amateur here, but if you look at a profile, I'm sure none of that is in the profile.
Not at all.
Nobody is saying, I'm looking for somebody to love and be loved by, to respect and be respected by.
No, Anchorman's my favorite movie, and
right.
I love cheese fries. Like, it's very, you know, and there is some of that. You know, people, I think, make an effort to explain what they're looking for, but a lot of times it's a misfire. Mm-hmm. And then when you meet them in person, it's not at all what you expected.
So is that when you finally make the decision to go out and meet this person that you've been communicating with online, is that what you're heading for? Is that what you're trying to discover in those person-to-person encounters on a date?
Absolutely.
What makes you decide that this is the person I'll open that door to? I'll give him my phone number, or I'll agree to meet him for lunch or whatever. What pushes that button?
I think if they've given an accurate representation of themselves.
How do you know?
Well, you know when you show up for a date if you're getting the person that you got via email at the table at dinner. I mean, for the most part. But that takes conversation and spending time with one another. I mean, you can, you know, I've been living with Kyle for a year and a half now. I learn something new about him every week. So that is, it's an ongoing process. But I think, you know, having those hard conversations up front, you know, if they've lied pretty profoundly in their profile, you're going to know that right away. And that's a red flag. But again, it's an ongoing process.
You made it through to the finals of The Bachelor. I mean, you were the one that The Bachelor ultimately chose. So obviously you passed with flying colors. On the other hand, you were The Bachelorette, and you got to choose the guy at the end of that show. And there were 24 other guys you did not choose. Mm-hmm. Was it difficult to go through essentially 24 repetitive job interviews with people that probably you didn't want to spend a lot of time with because you'd already said, he's not the guy. He's gone. I'm going to vote him off the island.
Well, I just love getting to know people in general. So I had fun going and getting to know somebody that I, like you said, would never get to know in real life. And it was a great learning experience for me because I was forced to go out with people that I never would have met in my real life. And I never would have given a chance.
And what has that given you going forward?
An open mind. But I think women in general have a sixth sense. And if they just listened to their hearts more, they would, I don't know, just maybe not get so caught up in the relationship side and, oh my gosh, what are we? Are we dating? Is he my boyfriend? Like, I think it could be more organic and more natural and just see where things go. And maybe that's why I'm still single. But I think that every time you see a movie or hear a story, like your girlfriend that or your friend that called the guy a million times, it's always the girl that's like, we need to define what we are. We need to do this and we need to do that. And it scares the guy off.
We're talking about modern dating on Charlotte Talks here on WFAE. Did you notice, because you went through The Bachelor and then The Bachelorette, was there a difference in the way you handled the dating situation that you were in control of as The Bachelorette choosing the man versus the way The Bachelor chose the dating situations when he was choosing all these women?
I feel like and maybe it's just a difference in personalities, I don't know. I was much more, I wanted to really get to know the guy. I didn't just accept, you know, their answer. I asked one of the guys, if I had your ex-girlfriend here, what would be her biggest complaint about you? And he said that I love my son too much and I didn't wash her car enough. And I just thought, no, like that is not, no, I'm sorry, that's not real life. And so whereas I think maybe The Bachelor would just accept that answer, I think girls are a little bit more in tune and would never, you know, I could name 1,000 mistakes that I've made.
Maybe you don't know the answer to this question either, but did the women on The Bachelor like each other more than the men on The Bachelorette liked each other, or less?
Less.
The women
absolutely
liked each other less.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We all got along pretty well, though, surprisingly.
What is dating about? Is dating about finding Mr. or Mrs. Right, the one that you want to spend your whole life with from here on out and have children with, etc.? Or is it about just having a good time in the 21st century in 2013? What's it about?
I think it's both.
It's both.
It's absolutely both. When you're younger, I had a blast dating casually in my 20s. And, you know, I think there's a big difference between sex and dating, but they go together and that's fine for a while. And then when you're ready to settle down, you take a more serious approach, like Dr. Dara said. I think it's absolutely both. And you have to do both, I think, to learn enough about yourself to be ready to settle.
And I think once you find the right person, there's no question you could ask that could scare them off. I think that there's no right or wrong way to go about it. It's just dating the right or wrong person.
Because I think always, you know, you start dating in high school mostly. And that's not about finding Mr. or Mrs. Right. That's just about finding a way to navigate this whole new world of relationships between the genders. But at some point you have to say, I think it happens when you say, Now I'm going to look. Now I'm going to look seriously to see who's right for me. How do you know when that happens? What in your mind clicks for you to say, okay, from this point on, I'm looking for the right person, and I have 20 seconds here. So
when I work with singles, I get them really clear about what their requirements, needs, and wants are, and the requirements are their deal breakers. And if you know what your deal breakers are, usually it's no more than 5 to 7. If you know what they are, then the first four meets that you, or dates, you know, because they either meet your requirements or not.
Dr. Dar, Megan Henshaw, and Emily Maynard, our guests, we're coming right back. It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE and WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about the world of modern dating, given all the things that have changed in the world, both with the women and men and technology, which allows online dating and a whole new world of a way of meeting people, with Megan Henshaw, who's a writer for Creative Loafing, who writes about this, Dr. Darshana Hawks, a relationship expert, the author of Stop Being Single Now, and you see her frequently on Fox Charlotte TV, and Emily Maynard, who you may or may not have seen on The Bachelor, she won, and The Bachelorette, she won again because she was The Bachelorette on ABC TV. Online dating started out being viewed as something rather odd and vaguely dangerous because, you know, people lie on the internet. They post pictures that aren't them on the internet and say, that's me, and, you know, I could say that I'm 20 and 6'1 and blonde and, you know, but I'm not. I'm an old radio dude. So, but online dating has become more common and certainly more accepted. We have three people on our staff who have had great success with online dating. Two of them ended up in marriage. So it does work. Reuters reports, according to one of your articles, that 30 million of the 54 million single Americans have turned to online dating and hookup websites. Is there a difference, by the way, between an online dating and a hookup website? I know the answer to this already, but I'm going to ask it anyway.
There is. So there are.
How would you know the difference?
There are niche sites, and they market themselves accordingly. So there are, you know, sites such as Ashley Madison that are, you know, for married people to go on and have affairs. There are sites that are adult friend finder. They're specifically for people who are looking for casual sex. You're still going to get some of that with, you know, your Match.coms and your Zoosk and your Plenty of Fish. There are people who are just looking for casual sex there also. But again, there are niche sites for that.
Who is making the most use of online dating? Does it span the spectrum of young to old? Do retired people use Match.com? Do 20-year-olds use Match.com? Who's doing it?
Everyone.
Everyone.
Everyone. Yeah, there are actually sites specifically
Why?
For older.
Particularly
singles.
Older people who have been through the world before the internet and who dated in more traditional ways in their younger years, why would they turn to Match.com in their older years?
Because it exposes you to a larger number of people and options, I think, is number one. Number two, you can get to know someone mentally through email and through chat, so to speak, before you invest in seeing them face to face.
This is a multi-billion-dollar industry, this online dating industry, for the websites. And we keep mentioning Match.com, but there are others like eHarmony. There are Christian online dating sites and God knows how many other online dating sites. Is there a difference between them, among them?
There are differences. There's sites for dog lovers. There's sites for for veterans. So it really is based on personal preference. I think also these dating sites are and the business itself is to bring you more options, but their business model is not to get everyone married. People think that, but it's not. Their business model is to provide you with singles to meet. Mm-hmm. And that's why they're so successful.
Many people call these online dating sites online meeting sites because you don't really date on the site. You meet on the site, and then you decide whether or not you're going to date, right?
Well, and deciding that whether or not you're going to date doesn't happen in the first five times you get together. It happens after that.
Recommendations, if you're going to use this as a way to meet people, what would you do? What would you tell people about making that first foray into putting yourself up on an online dating site?
The first thing I would say, I got very lucky with online dating. Obviously, I hit the jackpot, but I'm not an advocate nor a detractor. I think that it is a tool that can be used to help provide you options. I don't think that online dating is a magic wand. I don't think that it is the curse of death. You know, people have mixed opinions and they're typically very strong opinions, but it is just a resource. That is all. You have to use it in a way that makes sense for you. I think one thing that's very important when you're, attempting to put yourself out there online for the first time is to be brutally honest in your profile. They have all these algorithms that match you and, you have to answer 7,000 questions in order to post your profile. But the key is to not say things in that profile that you think people want to hear. Say things that are authentic.
Is that hard?
I think so.
Because you do want to present yourself.
Well, you're marketing yourself.
Yes.
Yeah. Bringing things offline into the real world, when you're on a first date, that's your best representative. That's not you when you have the flu and you haven't showered in 3 days. That's the best version of yourself. I think it's very hard to put yourself out there in a real way, but you'll have more success if you do so.
So you're very careful about how you craft your profile and be as honest as you can be so that you don't attract elements that you don't want to spend time on and that you do attract the kind of people that you do want to actually spend time on.
Exactly.
But there's an element of trust there, isn't there? I mean, you have to trust that the other person has approached this the same way that you just suggested that we should approach it.
Right. Well, like anything else, it's a gamble.
Has that been your experience that other people do it that way? Or because you didn't have success until you met Kyle and you were pretty much ready to hang it up with online dating before that.
I sure was.
So was that because the other people didn't approach it that way?
Right. Well, I just don't think that people think about it in a strategic way. You're investing money and time into this profile. Do it the right way. But instead, they do it the shiny way and say things that they think will get a good response as opposed to saying things that will really represent what they're looking for and who they are as a person.
Mm-hmm. And that in and of itself speaks volumes. They're not ready for that long-term relationship. They're in it for a different reason. Right. Yeah.
And once you've found a couple of people and maybe you've had coffee with them or what's the first thing you should do? If you decide to meet somebody, what should that meeting be like? Where should it be? How long should it last? How do you keep yourself safe? Because particularly if you're a woman, you don't want to meet in some dark place in the middle of the night. You want to be around people.
During the day, afternoon coffee, no more than 30 minutes. Those are the rules.
I interviewed one guy who actually will have girls meet him while he's out and about running errands, like at the grocery store. And they'll walk aisle to aisle shopping and just chat.
Is that not odd?
it works. It takes the pressure out of the word, I'm on a date.
Uh-huh.
It removes all of that wonky stuff that goes on in our heads for showing up at a nice, you know, nicely prepped dinner table.
You're not on a date. You're helping him pick out the frozen foods.
Exactly.
It's great.
Now you get to see how he eats, right?
And actually, grocery stores are a great way to meet men. They really are.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Why is that?
Well, because most of the time they're in there shopping and they really don't know what they're looking for, and they might not, you know where something is, and it just works.
You reported, Megan, in an article that you wrote for Creative Loafing, that Reuters News Service claims that courtships that begin online last an average of 23 months shorter than traditional relationships. Why would that be?
Before marriage.
So they go toward marriage quicker?
Quicker. That's that fast-forwarding effect I referenced earlier. There's an illusion that you know the person better than you actually do before you ever meet face-to-face.
Is that why the New York Times calls this the end of courtship?
I think it's just so far removed from traditional courtship. I mean, no one's sitting on the front porch drinking sweet tea these days. So I think that's what they meant. I think a lot of women are frustrated with the process. Mm-hmm. Just because it's being redefined and it's evolving.
Gary writes us on one of our many ways to contact us that many years ago I heard a great piece of advice that many years later I wish I had followed. It was never marry anyone if you aren't well acquainted without knowing their families as well. I have known families with family members who all have the same undesirable qualities. It's especially important as adults are very deceptive. Another thing I've learned is that how long you've known someone is vital. I did a family tree about 20 years ago and ran across older relatives, a few of whom I actually knew, who had known one another since childhood. None of those relatives ever divorced. Where we get into trouble is falling in love. It implies being out of control. It seems that a hormone rush is a poor substitute for knowledge. Perhaps we would be better off to marry someone we like. One book I read stated that it's possible that most people are never really in love. They simply like and are used to one another. Doctor.
I totally agree with you, Gary. Thank you. Falling in love is definitely a misnomer. It is hormones talking. We also see the Cinderella story where the happily ever after happens, but we don't get to see the rest of the life. I also agree that do take a look at the families, because you're not just marrying each other. You're marrying each other's cultures and family members. You've got to look at the total picture.
I don't want to get too personal, Emily, because I know this is probably a difficult topic for you to talk about, but you did meet somebody that was important to you and would probably have spent the rest of your life with had he not met with an airplane crash. And then you went on The Bachelor and The Bachelorette.
Mm-hmm.
Was there a difference in the relationship and how you developed a relationship with Ricky? And in terms of the other relationships, not just the ones on television, but the other relationships that you've had to develop over the course of time?
Absolutely, and I always say it was such a blessing and a curse at the same time. And I think that that's kind of where I get this idea that I'm going to meet somebody and it's just going to be instant and we're going to fall in love. And
was it instant with you and Ricky?
It really was. It took us a long time to, you know, date, because I was younger. I was really young when I met him, and so, you know, just my dad was, you know, the deciding factor on that one for sure. But once I got older and at an age where I could date, it really was. It was pretty instant, and he became my best friend. But looking at the blessing side of it, I now know what I can feel, and I'm not fooled by anything. And that's why that's where that confidence comes from, that I don't need to settle. And I know what a good relationship can bring to your life, and I don't need to be in a relationship unless it's going to bring good things.
She used an interesting term, and I think it goes back to Gary Kay, what he said on his email. She said he was my best friend. Is that what you're looking for?
That's number one. I'm seeing a lot of couples now in their 50s and 60s and 70s that have never been friends, and it's really creating a problem in the marriages, and that's why we're seeing the divorce rate really increase with that age bracket.
You talk about the it factor, and I think that
yes.
She just spoke about the it factor when she was talking about Ricky and about how she just knew almost immediately. Is that what you're talking about when you talk about the it factor?
The spark? Yes, the spark, the it factor, that feeling that we had when we were younger, when we meet someone and we feel that connection. Many times it does work out, but when we're in our 30s and 40s and older, that spark and chemistry and that passion isn't what we're looking for right out the gate, but we're dating as though we're still in our teens looking for the same feeling. But we're more intellectual, we're more in touch with our emotions, and we've got to have that emotional connection for it to work.
Does that spark, obviously when you're young, everything is intense. The flame is burning bright when you're young. And that does diminish with time, because I think it's hormones. I think it's chemical. But does the spark, if you're 65 and you've lost your spouse and you're looking for somebody to spend the rest of your life with, are you going to find that same spark in somebody new that you found when you were 20?
Yeah, you're not going to find the spark in the same way, but you can have that spark. It just feels different. So the hormones, the oxytocin and the other hormones that are raging are going to be more balanced. You're going to be more educated in your choice as opposed to letting those hormones and the adrenaline take over so that you're making your decisions based on that.
Dating in the modern world, it's a strange world out there. We're talking about that this morning on Charlotte Talks here on WFAE. Does the spark reveal itself over time? Can it reveal itself over time? Or do you know it instantly, normally? I mean, how did it happen for you and Kyle? How did you know, I'm stopping here because this is the guy?
Well, initially, I was actually coming out of a very negative relationship where there was an instant, quote-unquote, spark. And he was a disaster. He was a walking disaster. So I was coming out of that when I met Kyle, actually.
Would you like to give us his name? No, I'm just kidding.
I would love to. So I was very hesitant to jump into anything with Kyle. I think the best way for me to describe Kyle when I first met him was I was incredibly intrigued by him. He was interesting to me. He was different. I knew there was something about him. I wasn't ready or willing to put my finger on it at the time. So we were friends for a while. And I think that's where the really getting to know one another came into play. And now sparks are flying all over the place. So I think it was a more of a gradual process for us. But I think that's what it turns into the older you get, is more of a gradual process.
Once you've made the connection online and you've met somebody, and maybe you've gone out on one or two dates, whether they're dates or coffee or meeting in the grocery store, but you've gone out a couple of times. Is there really any difference in the process and the result and how you handle yourself in those situations than there would have been in more traditional ways of meeting and dating people?
The only distinction I can see is that it's more collaborative now, whereas in the offline world, especially in years previous to this time, There's no more of that. This is what you're supposed to do, especially for men and women. You know, you're supposed to get married at this time, or I'm supposed to go to this date and I'm supposed to behave a certain way. I think that part has changed to where people are more expressive and self-aware.
But since there are no rules, there used to be rules. It used to be maybe easier because there were rules. You knew you there were certain lines and boundaries you didn't cross until certain things happened. Put a ring on it. Thank you, Beyonce. Is it more difficult now?
Those marriages are ending up in divorce now. So I would say that no, the rules have changed and there are rules, but I can't say that doing what you're supposed to do and put a ring on it is going to lend itself to happily ever after.
Dr. Darshana Hawks is a relationship expert, the author of Stop Being Single Now. And you see her on Fox Charlotte TV. Megan Henshaw is a writer for Creative Loaf in Charlotte. And Emily Maynard, a mom and a contestant on The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. The winner both times, by the way. Thank you all for being here.